Well, hello there. Good evening and welcome. This is your Superstation Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Enimwa Enimado, and this is Strong and Sassy. So, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and it's always a season that we take very seriously because we have been told that 1 in 8 women in the course of their lives will be affected by breast cancer. We also know that early detection makes a big difference. And so if we're talking about it and we're dealing with it, then we can make things better, or we can avoid going down the road of a lot of pain and regret. So this month, we'll be having a lot of conversations about breast cancer, both in men and women, because like I was telling Evans, sometimes we don't focus on breast cancer in men. I think it's about 1% or so. But we don't talk about it enough, and as much as we expect to be supported as women, it's time that we also offer our support to the men. So joining me for tonight's conversation is Dr. Amoah Mensah. She's a radiologist at the Greater Accra Regional Hospital. And I'm smiling because we went to school together and we sat in the same class. And she terrorized me and we were in the same house, and she was so troublesome. But it's so great to have you here. Let me refer to you as Dr. Amoah Mensah. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Enimwa.
So today we're talking breast cancer, essential information for men and women. So I think we should start at the beginning.
Okay.
Why do we talk? There are lots of different cancers.
Yes.
But there seems to be a lot of conversations about breast cancer. Why in the first place, why do we talk about it so much? So much so that it has a full month dedicated to.
Yeah, exactly. So breast cancer is the leading cause of cancer death in the world, is secondary to lung cancer in females. So that is why we pay a lot of attention to it. And you know, females, we play a very important role in life in general. And what happens is that when a female gets breast cancer, there are a lot of things that cannot be done any longer. For instance, she has to seek medical care and all that, and taking care of the house, going to work and all that will have to come to a stop for a moment.
Yeah.
And I'm sure all that affects the life economy and life in general.
Yeah, when a woman is sick, there's a problem.
That's why a lot of
So it's really just because, or it's really importantly because it is one of the second leading
cause of cancer death in females. It's killing a lot of females.
Yes. That's interesting, but lung cancer is the top one.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about, or let's start from early detection. I mean, we're always told, you know, every so often, you know, lift your arms up, you know, check and see what's going on with your boobs and all of that. So do you want to just run us through that process so that those who are listening to us will actually, like, let's do a check now, first of all.
So I'll start with doing a self-breast examination. And a self-breast examination can be done, let's say, 3 to 5 days after your menses.
It shouldn't be done during your menses.
No, not really. Why? Because during your menses, the breast becomes tender and all that.
Okay, so you may not get that.
Yes.
Okay.
And again, for those who are postmenopausal, they can choose, it should be consistent on maybe a particular date of the month. So they can, the postmenopausal women can choose maybe the first day of every month or the last day of every month in order for them to remember.
Okay.
So it can be done whilst lying down, or the person can stand.
Okay.
First of all, the armpit is also part of the breast.
Okay.
So you have to touch your armpit and make sure there is nothing there, no swelling, no lumps or anything.
But there can be fat. Some of us are fat.
Yes.
So armpits are fat.
But you can feel maybe there is something in the fat, if there is something that is abnormal in the armpit.
Okay.
When you move from there, then you go to the nipple. You can check if it's normal in position, it hasn't gone inside, also it hasn't become red or scaly. Again, there is no, you have to press the nipple to make sure that there is no discharge coming from the nipple. any bloody or whitish discharge from the nipple. Aside, when you're done with these two checkups.
Sorry, is it possible to have pimples on your nipples?
No.
No.
So, it's an abnormality. When you see something like that, you have to take it to the hospital.
Okay, so if you squeeze and anything white comes out, as long as you're not breastfeeding.
Yes, it's abnormal. Okay. So you have to take it to the hospital. And when you're done with this, you divide the breast into four main parts. And then you use your fingers together and press against the breast. Mm. The first one-fourth of the breast. You make sure that there is no lump in that quarter. After that, you move to the next one-fourth.
But wait, you see, when you press your breast, there's usually something, there's like a mass,
The main one, will be different from how the rest of the things in the...
Okay, so it's not like when you press your breast, you shouldn't expect to feel anything inside. There's something inside.
There is something, but
you are looking for, like, tubby, like when you make bangkun and this.
Yes.
Okay.
The abnormal swelling or lumpy in it.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
So you move to the other one-fourth and then lower one-fourth there. Medial and then the lateral one.
Okay.
When you are done with all this, then you press where the nipples are, the areola area, to make sure that there is also nothing in it.
Okay.
So this is one of the first steps. As soon as you see something, you have to take it to the hospital for further investigations to be done for you.
Okay, so if you're listening to us, I hope that you did the check with us, because we were doing the check in the studio. If you like, you can go on Facebook and go and watch us doing our check. So do your checks. If there's nothing, then you're fine. But if you feel anything unusual,
you have to take it to the hospital.
So the funny thing is that over the past few years, and when we have these conversations, whether it's with, you know, breast cancer survivors or those who are still battling it, they always talk about the period between when they found or they felt something unusual and going to the hospital. It's as if there's always either a period of denial or a period of prayer and fasting or a period of something. So I think what I want to ask you is, how important is it, you know, to not waste time?
So like we said, early detection, we indeed saves lives. So as soon as you notice something, of course, it's not easy. You have to go to the hospital for further investigations to be done. A mammogram, that is, if you're above 40 years, a mammogram will be done for you, plus a breast ultrasound scan. And then whatever is seen, whether it's something that is not cancerous, you'll be rest assured by your doctor. But if it's cancerous, the next stage will be a biopsy being taken for it to be taken for pathology, for us to know the outcome, and then the further management will continue.
So the mammogram is the machine.
Yes, please.
So you go into the machine. And then we see if there's something.
Yes.
Then a lot of times, you know, you doctors, you talk about we'll do a biopsy. So what does that entail? What does that mean?
Okay, so a biopsy is one of the investigations that are done to check for cancer in the breast. The portion where the swelling is, it can be done under ultrasound. And when we use the ultrasound scan, we can see where the swelling or mass in the lump is. And then the doctor will use a needle to take a sample of the mass that is in the breast, which will be taken to the lab for further investigation.
Okay, so the biopsy is removing some of the...
Yes, a sample of the...
Is it painful?
Anesthesia is always... A local anesthesia is always given before the biopsy is taken. So, not so painful. Yes.
Please. So then it goes off to the labs for that.
Yes.
And then you go home.
Yes, please.
And then you wait.
Yes. So when the results come...
What's the average waiting time for the...
Oh, it doesn't really keep long. It depends on where you take it. I know there are some labs, Kolebu, for instance, it can be done, and also other private labs. And it doesn't take more than, let's say, 3 to 4 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then you get called in after the biopsy.
Yes.
And then... It's either... So is the biopsy definite? Is it able to tell whether it's cancerous or whether it's...
No, the biopsy is just the sample that is being taken. So it's the pathology report that will...
That's what I meant. Like, yes, so the pathology report is from the biopsy?
Yes.
Okay.
So that will tell whether it's cancerous, the type of cancer. There are different types of cancers that affects the breast.
Okay.
So it will give the exact type. And then a decision will be made on whether we should do a mastectomy for you, that is cutting the breast, or a conservation of the breast. Maybe a portion of it where the cancer is will be removed for you. And after that, you may undergo chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and also sometimes hormone treatment.
Okay, so two questions. The one, the types of cancers that affect the breast, but also, so when you cut out, when, you know, you talk about cutting out a portion of the breast.
Okay.
Like, are you cutting the inside or the outside?
It will depend on the location of the cancer.
Okay.
That will let the surgeons know where exactly to
cut.
Yes, to cut.
So then you could very well have your breast basically
not the whole breast will be taken away,
but it won't be the same portion. Again. It will be
but we have reconstructive plastic surgery that can be done even for breasts that are taking off altogether completely. Okay. So there is no cause for alarm.
No, we're just trying to, you know, sometimes when you are prepared for what is happening, sometimes it's easier than to be caught unexpected, you know. So that's why I'm being a bit graphic. Okay, so you talk about the different types of cancer that could affect.
Yes.
I mean, when you say breast cancer, like we that we are non-medical, I feel like it's one, like it's breast cancer. So now what are the different kinds of cancers, like how is it different now? Is it not the one breast cancer?
There are several of them. So for instance, there is something called ductal carcinoma in situ. That one affects the ducts in the breast. So the ducts are the milk producing glands in the breasts. That's like when a woman delivers the baby, it produces the milk for the baby to feed from. There can be a cancer in the ducts.
Okay.
Aside from that, we have inflammatory breast CAs2, inflammatory breast cancers that affects the, it can affect the whole breast. You see that your breast is swollen. It looks like the orange peel, like you can see some small lumpiness around the breast and all that, like how the skin of an orange looks like.
Okay.
All that is abnormal. So when you see some, you may not have a lump necessarily in the breast, but that's the how it will look like.
Okay.
The surrounding of the breast and everything.
So those are like the different kinds.
Yes.
And then you talked about the hormonal.
You mean hormonal treatment for?
Oh, it was treatments that
yes,
you talked about.
I mentioned.
So it's okay. So now, what are the causes? What are the things that cause? I remember I was watching a TV show and it said something about a gene. I can't remember the name.
Yes. So since you're asking that, there are several causes, but I'll start from the gene that you're saying. So we have BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes.
BRCA.
Yes,
that's
BRCA.
Yes, BRCA.
Yes. So when you have these BRCA1 and 2 genes, like you are about 80% risk of getting breast cancer.
So that's inherited?
Yes.
Okay. So then a history of breast
family
cancer.
Family history is also very important. Aside from that, like as a woman grows older, from age, let's say, after puberty, anybody at all can get breast cancer. But especially from 40 years going, 70, those who are 70 years have a higher risk than those who are 40.
Okay.
As you age, it increases.
It increases.
Your risk of getting breast cancer increases.
Okay.
Yes.
So there's the BRCA, which is genetic.
Yes.
And then the other causes.
Family history. Also, there are some syndromes like Li-Framani syndrome. That's when you have also something called Cowden's disease. Other causes of breast cancer can be exposure to radiation, depending on where you work. It can have an effect. Also, those who consume high amount of alcohol, smoking as well. Aside from these things that I've mentioned, lack of exercise, obesity.
Oh, Jesus.
cause breast cancer.
Okay. All right. Okay. So those are the things that make you more
prone to getting breast cancer.
Okay, so before we get into the treatments and all of that, what are some of the things that we can actively do? So, for example, you turn 40.
Yes.
Okay, and you're overweight, or you turn 40 and, you know, you drink, you smoke, you turn 40, and you're just chilling, basically, in your life. How do you modify your lifestyle?
Okay.
So that you, like, you know, you are actively, what are things that you can actively do to put yourself in a position where...
Okay. So regular body exercise is very, very important. Also looking at what you eat, more fruits and vegetables rather than carbohydrate foods. You check your weight and also your lifestyle so that you make sure that your BMI is normal. Again, if you are someone who consumes a lot of alcohol, you have to put a stop to it or reduce the quantity, very little amounts or not at all. No, you are not supposed to smoke. And more importantly, you are supposed to do a mammogram after age 40 every year to check your breasts. Yes.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
So every year after 40, if you can.
You have to.
Okay, so every year after 40, you have to do a mammogram just to see, so that if there's anything, it can be detected.
Early. Yes.
Okay. So those who have like a family history of breast cancer.
Yes. For those with a family history of breast cancer, they are supposed to do the mammograms earlier than those without. And again, we have a genetic test too that can be done for them to find out
So let's say your mom had breast cancer, your auntie had breast cancer, your grandmother, your sister. I think at that point you want to go and check for the gene.
Yes.
So then if you go and then you have the gene, which you said makes you about 80%
prone.
Yes. Then what do you do?
So when you check and it's like that, you make sure that always you do every month you are always doing your self breast examination. You go to see your doctor frequently, at least every 6 months. An ultrasound scan can be done of the breast, can be done for you, so that if there is anything abnormal developing, it can be detected as soon as possible.
But isn't that like living your life waiting to get breast cancer?
No, not exactly. So when you go early, if you pay attention to your health. And always making sure that, I'm supposed to do this test. Time is up. You go and do it. You are free. And if there is something, you are alerted about it and treatment is started rather than waiting, then all of a sudden
it hits you. Yeah. But I think, so basically, the point I'm trying to make is that if, like, you have a family history of it, then it's almost like you should know that you could be going
for the checkup.
So you really have to be going.
You have to pay attention to your health
for the checkup. So let's say I don't really have any knowledge of how hospitals work and stuff.
Okay.
So my mom has breast cancer or whatever. You know, I know it's in the family. Okay. Maybe my parents have passed away. Like, how do I start getting these checks? You know, where do I go? Do I just go to my regular doctor and discuss with them? You know, is it an obs and gyne thing? Do I have to go to a cancer unit? You know, like, where do I go?
So you can go to your regular...
Or my pharmacist.
No, you don't have to see your pharmacist. Okay. You have to see a doctor. Okay. Your regular doctor. You talk to the doctor about it. Of course, if the doctor thinks that you may need maybe a dedicated surgeon or a specialist to be taking care of you, that doctor will refer you to the surgeon or the specialist.
Okay, so what if, I mean, I'm just, so in Ghana, for example, right?
Yeah.
What if you want to do the testing, for example?
Well, it's not any, I mean, it can be done. All you have to do is go to your doctor and tell your doctor about the family history that you have on breast cancer. And then you can, if the doctor tells you maybe every 6 months, come and see us, and you really want to do the genetic testing, it can be requested for you to do it.
Okay. So it's not a difficult process. So the best thing is just, if you have any cares or any concerns, just go to your regular doctor.
Yes.
And they should be able to direct you in the right direction.
Yes,
okay, so we went out on the streets and had a conversation with you guys. So let's take a listen. There were also a few questions that came up. So Doc will be answering them for us. So let's do it one at a time. Yeah, okay.
Breast cancer is when a woman has a lump or tumor in her breast. Yes. So basically, it's caused to age or your meals, excessive intake of alcohol. If you don't exercise, even if you exercise at least 2 times a week, at least you know that you moved. Exercising is important if you want to avoid any form of disease at all. Yes. And I mean healthy living, healthy lifestyle living, going to bed early, not using your phone too much, especially in the dark, making sure you're working out, drinking lots of water, eating more veggies, more fruits. Healthy living will help you not contract breast cancer.
Okay, so I think you already spoke about that. So we were asking our audience, you know, what they know about breast cancer, what they think, you know, they can do to avoid it. But some of them also had questions, so we will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, good evening. My name is Achuadu, and I'd like to share a few thoughts on breast cancer. Breast cancer, I know, is a type of cancer, or we can say it's a type of tumor that develops in the breast tissue. And I know it can develop as a result of your family history. Sometimes it can be genetics and also some hormonal changes. I've heard that some women develop breast cancer after childbirth. And most of the fears I know surrounding breast cancer is the risk of death after a surgery, and also the physical changes in a female body. You know, females pride themselves in being attractive. So when there's a drastic change that makes the female look less of a female, they tend to feel embarrassed in society. But I would like to ask, is it true? And if it is, why do women develop breast cancer after childbirth? And what are some of the ways you can prevent it? Thank you.
I think there was a question in there. There was something you wanted to clarify. And then there was a question that is, why do women still get breast cancer after having children?
Like I said, you get breast cancer with increasing of your age. As you age, your risk of developing breast cancer becomes higher. So it's not because you've delivered that is why you should get breast cancer. In fact, when you deliver, it even helps because the hormonal changes that goes on, like when you're breastfeeding and all that, rather helps to reduce your risk of getting breast cancer. So it's rather a positive thing to have children.
Okay, so if you get breast cancer after you have children, it has nothing to do with having of the children. There were other factors that were present.
Yes.
Okay.
Before.
Okay.
Hello, good evening. My name is Samuel Hutchison, and I would like to share my 2 cents about breast cancer. So breast cancer has a lot of stigma surrounding it. Then again, as men, we tend to believe it's not a subject matter that concerns us. I was literally schooled today by a friend that men do get breast cancer. Yes. So with the little I know about breast cancer, well, pertaining to the ladies a lot, the ways you can curb it is practicing personal hygiene, the not using excessive tight bras, the food you eat. A lot of processed foods contribute to cancer causing, yeah. So that's all I know. And how do we create awareness about it? You know, we hear a lot of creating awareness about it in the media. It is breast cancer, what, but what does it entail? Like, what are the causes? How do we prevent it? Like a more in-depth explanation on what it is, the causes, and the preventive measures that can be taken. Yes, please. And a little more light on the side that guys can also Yes, please, because it's almost like it's a lady's thing. Yes, thank you very much.
All right, so before we move on to the next question, let's talk about breast cancer in men.
Okay, so men also get breast cancer, mm-hmm. but just 1% mm. of them gets breast cancer. And some may show the same symptoms as the females show. You can feel a lump in the breast. Apart from that, you can have...
The lump in which part of the breast? Because, I mean, if like you're
an abnormal swelling... When
because there's no, if you know, like the regular guy doesn't have,
yes, boobs. So if all of a sudden they feel an abnormal like protrusion
in the flat form, chest,
yes,
okay,
they have to take it to the hospital.
So
or pay attention
their own, how do you check?
Oh, we do mammograms for them as well. Like,
no, I mean, the self check,
yes, the same
so
way
you just,
the females
you press around that area,
yes,
to see if there's any lump,
yes, then the nipple and also the armpit area,
oh, all the way up,
yes,
there.
All the way up. There.
I'm just trying to imagine, like, if your husband or boyfriend is very skinny, like, and there's no flesh, it's bone that you're pressing. So, like, there's
no, they also have breasts.
They also,
they do have.
Okay, so that's how you. So what causes it in men? Is it the same thing?
Yeah, it's the same thing. We all have something called fibroglandular tissue, okay, of the breast, and both male and female has it. Just that it's not in abundance in the male like the female.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and what's about lifestyle? Are there lifestyle issues? Hormonal? You never talk, talk about men and hormones. No, you know what I mean. Like, we don't.
That is why their own is just 1%. Or, okay, like, you know, if the female hormones are more and a lot of things affected.
Okay, so if you're a guy as well, so pretty much the same thing. You do your checks.
Self-breast examination.
All the way to your armpits. And then if there's something, you go to the
hospital.
So let me ask you, right? When you go to the breast cancer unit,
okay,
is there a separate section for men? Because I can imagine how a man will feel. He has... like a lump or something, he's coming to the breast cancer unit. Right. They are like 76 women and they are all looking at him like, what are you doing here? You know what I mean? It'll be a bit uncomfortable. Why are you whispering?
They mix up. I mean,
they just join.
We don't have a separate place for the men and women.
I'm just asking that together, because I can imagine
just
that for
course,
men.
In entering the consulting room, I mean, they go one after the other.
Yeah, but when you go to the mammogram place,
yes, the sitting area, all of them will be together, but entering the room, it's just 1%.
Okay, I'm saying it to bring awareness, because, you know, sometimes, you know, women, our facial expressions, you know, our comments, because you are sitting there and you say that's now, Bema we so yeah, dear, or her,
that's true,
you know, or something. And I think that these are the reasons why men hide, you know, some of these things a lot. So if you do go to the anywhere, and you know, you see a guy there, just leave him alone, you know, just leave him alone. Don't, it's not now that I also now come to talk to him plainly, because men, you know, they don't like that.
Yeah.
So just leave him alone. And guys, you know, it might be difficult, but you know, I am hoping that in this month we'll be able to speak to a man who has survived breast cancer. Because I really want to know what it feels like, you know, for a man to have a disease that's tagged mainly a woman's. You know,
true.
I mean. So what's the treatment for men? I mean, do you cut out, or they just go straight to chemo? Well, what
so,
is there
no,
to cut
so the
out?
The treatment, of course, is the same for the females. They undergo the same thing. As soon as we detect an abnormality in the breasts, you do a mammogram plus a complementary ultrasound scan.
Okay.
And then a biopsy is done. That is using a needle to take a sample of whatever swelling or mass that is in the breast. After the pathology results comes out, it will tell the exact treatment to give to the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is how we go about it.
So it's
it.
The same procedure?
Yes. And then chemotherapy, radiation therapy. And
then that's it. Wow, okay. I think we can move on to our next question.
So I have a question. What do men do that could cause them to get breast cancer? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much for your question. Maybe their lifestyle, consuming a lot of alcohol, obesity, not paying particular attention about what they eat, I mean, no vegetables, no fruits.
Also, it's family in only history, carbs. If your mom has...
And yes.
Does that
and
apply?
And also the BRCA1 and 2 genes, okay. If they have all that.
Okay.
Yes, they can get
breast cancer. So if you're a man with a family history of breast cancer, I don't think that it only affects the women in the family. Could also... It's not likely, but... I mean, 1%. But.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next question.
I have a question. How do we treat breast cancer? Year in, year out, one doctor will come and say, oh, it's by smooching the breast. Another one will come and say, oh, it's by sucking the breast. Year in, year out. I mean, there are more girls than there are guys. So what the guys, what are we going to do to help the sisters? I mean, is it by smooching? Is it by sucking the breast? Like, what are we to do? This is the month of October, the month of breast cancer awareness.
You see, when I said this thing on news nights, you people all do your faces as if I had said something. I told you that the only way that men would be interested in breast cancer was if they're sucking and smooching inside.
So when they suck the breast, adults sucking of the breast doesn't prevent breast cancer. It's for babies, and this happens because
adults suck it
during breastfeeding. What happens is that the hormones that are produced, for instance, estrogen, for instance, is reduced in the body, and estrogen enhances the cancer cells. So, as they are reduced during lactation, I mean, it prevents breast cancer. So it's not adult suckling of the breast.
Of the breast. That doesn't. Yes. No, I think so. The only thing is maybe the
It doesn't cause any hormonal changes so in the woman. So it doesn't have any effect.
No effect.
No effect.
Cause 90.
Thank you.
But the smooching, mindful smooching, because it's in the mindful smooching that maybe you say, oh, babe. There's a lump. But the question I want to ask the men is that when you are doing the mindful smooching, is your mind, like, is it on the lumping or is it on the possible? I don't know how, because if all the blood has shifted, so anyway, let's move on. So to answer the question, it's okay, don't do anything. Just, when you're touching your wife or whatever it is, in the middle of all of that, try and remember to feel for lumps or something,
yeah,
right. And yes. Then I think that what the men can actually do to really support the women is that when she tells you she has seen a lump, force her to go to the hospital.
Yes,
make sure you take her to the hospital. Don't let her procrastinate. Don't let her do a 21-day prayer and fasting. Don't let her say she's going to Achia Mountain. Don't let her say, oh, it's nothing, it's nothing. And that's what you can actually do. Take her to the hospital as quickly as possible.
And again, when they come home to tell their husbands that maybe they have to cut their breast because of the cancer in it, they are not supposed to go against what the doctor is saying, because most women goes like, my husband says no, and it's not the best, because it's better for your wife to live than for breast cancer to kill her.
Yes, yeah. I think to the men, without the breast, you are, I don't want to say that you're pretty much dead, but I think last year we had the conversation with a breast cancer survivor and her husband. Okay. And he really talked about how difficult. Yes. I didn't realize how important breasts were to men, I think, until that conversation, because he really talked about, I mean, if I remember correctly, she had the mastectomy.
To me, okay.
Yes, and then even later on, gone on to have the reconstructive surgery. But he really talked about the challenge that it was in the marriage to him, and the death of their sex life, which was then going to pour into the eventual death of their marriage. You know, so I get that, and I agree with you that, you know, we should say that, oh, don't let, you know, if your wife has to have a mastectomy, let her have it. You know, but I also understand the concerns, even of women, you know, when you're cutting it off and you're not sure about the reconstructive surgery process, you know, is my husband still going to love me? Is he going to find me attractive? I mean, yes, I might die, you know, but you know how women are. We have, sometimes we can prioritize things in a way that you don't even understand. You know, like you are looking at death in the face, but we're also, we have the ability to also be worried at the same time about whether is he going to cheat on me? Does it mean that he's going to find somebody else? You know, and so I agree with you that, yeah, you know, men should try and be as supportive as possible, yeah, and remember that you can do, I mean, she can finish and come out with fresh, perky, yeah, new
breasts.
You know, after the whole, after the reconstruction. Surgery, so it's, yes, not the end.
Because they do very nice boobs.
They do nice boobs. Very. Wow. Like, wow. I mean, you get a fresh, imagine, like a fresh pair.
And then ones for the
you know, that's the light at the end of the tunnel, or the silver, exactly, lining. So, I mean, let's be mindful of that and be as supportive as possible. Okay, let me take a few messages. I don't think you're 5 years old. Okay. Hello. God bless you for this breast cancer awareness talk. God bless you too, Doc. I'm a 5-year-old, 50-year-old, 5-year-old stage 2 breast cancer survivor. Okay, so 5 years ago. Okay. I did chemotherapy, mastectomy, radiation, and I'm on hormonal therapy. This far by God's grace, because I listened to my doctors. I did all they told me to do, and I added prayers. It wasn't an easy experience, but God has been faithful. Breast cancer treatment is no joke at all in terms of the money involved. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break and get some commercials. When we come back, we'll talk about treatment options, the money involved, and I don't know, maybe how to get some help as well if you're going through is breast cancer, sorry, this is completely off, I know that you may not know the answer, but is it on the NHI?
They have some of the medications on the NHI, but okay, not all of
some.
Them
some. Okay, is it enough? Is it enough to help if you really, if you can't afford it, or
yes, it is.
Okay, all right, okay. So more when we come back. This is Still Strong and Sassy. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, is that Kuku? Hey, you've grown into a big boy, oh.
Ah, Ifipa. Even Momo is 15 years old.
It still feels like yesterday when we were fumbling with cash and worrying about the way money moves.
Say it again. Now I send money to my AC in the village, pay bills, save money, loan so kaka, investment kaka, at the Momo arm.
Shit. How do you think I get the small coins from my bugger pack?
To celebrate 15 years of Momo, you too can win awesome prizes in the Momo at 15 Rewards promo. Just download the new My Momo app, continue to transfer and make payments, and you could be one of the 15 lucky winners of 15,000 Ghana Cedis and 150 lucky winners of 1,500 Ghana Cedis each. So, Ghana, keep celebrating Momo at 15. Offer runs from now till November. T's and C's apply. MTN.
Yes, it's back. The Joy Sports Invitational Tournament is returning with a big bang. On Saturday, October 26, 2024, the University of Ghana Stadium will be buzzing with excitement. Get ready for a day packed with thrilling corporate sports action. This year, we've got it all. From the CEO's penalty shootout to the epic battle in men's football, women's penalty shootout, 4x100 meters mixed relays, mixed sack relay, volleyball, and basketball free throws. Of course, the board games will be taken care of. There will be Scrabble. There will be drafts as well. Esports is not forgotten, and there'll be a worry and so much more. Which company will reign supreme? Don't be left out of the fun and the competition and all that unbeatable Jama showdown for the special Team Spirit Award. To register your company, call or WhatsApp Slevin on 0540-106-466. So mark your calendars. October 26th at the University of Ghana Stadium. The Joy Sports Invitational Tournament is proudly brought to you by Joy Sports, the thrill of the game. McDan Group, your trusted partner for cutting-edge business solutions. The luckiest. Luck is everywhere for everyone. Caveman Watches. Be remembered. Joy Sports Invitational Tournament. Play for peace.
I'm
All right. Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this is Strong and Sassy here on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Enima Enimado, and I'm sitting down with Dr. Amoah Mensah. We're having a conversation about breast cancer. So we were going to talk about treatment, but I wanted to ask you, so when people don't come early, because I think that's one of the big things. When people don't come early,
yeah.
What is the effect of not coming to the hospital early?
So what happens when a woman or man doesn't come early to the hospital is that the cancer may spread to other parts of the body. It goes into the lymph nodes. Aside the lymph nodes, it can go to the lungs. From the lungs, it can go into the liver, the bones, and even the head sometimes. So it's always best.
Like, you people say cancer spreads. Like, it's, how does it spread? You are somewhere. So how do you move? Is it that it's
through
moving?
The lymphatic channels. There is something, so the lymph nodes that I mentioned, we have some in the armpits. That was why I said initially that we should always check from the armpits if something is there or not.
So then the cancer cells, which are like overgrown, abnormal cells.
Everywhere.
Like they reproduce and then
starts going to other parts of the body. Like not only, it doesn't stay only in the breast, mm-hmm. but goes to the other organs.
So does it become breast cancer in the lungs or it becomes
so
lung cancer?
So we call it, no, it's not lung cancer. It's called metastasis.
Okay.
The spread.
Okay, it has spread.
Yes.
That form of cancer has spread. And it's different from the other kinds of cancer.
Yes. It's as a result of the breast cancer that you have.
Okay, so how is that treated? The same way?
When it happens like that, then it means you're gradually getting close to your grave. So it's always better to present early.
Early.
Yeah. Because when it's detected early, we are able to treat the patient for the patient to get better. And even stay, I've seen a survivor who, I mean, I saw her last year, and it was 20 years post-treatment for breast cancer.
And it didn't come back?
No, she's fine. That's everything normal.
Why do we always
going
talk
back
about,
to work?
There's a term, there's a name for it. It starts with R.
Name for?
Like when
recurrence.
It comes back.
Yes, there can be a recurrence as well. So recurrence is when the cancer comes to maybe the other breast. But it all boils down to the early detection, because once you've had a surgery, that's the mastectomy, you're supposed to continue seeing your doctor at least every 3 months and from time to time. When you go all the time, your doctor will be requesting for other labs, and also you'll be doing mammograms every year of the breast, that is fine, and also the chest wall. And if there is any abnormality going in it, it can be detected and then for treatment to be given.
Wow. I mean, like I said earlier, it's like once it happens, you're never really like free in your mind again. You're always conscious of the fact that it can come back.
Yes.
So how effective is the treatments that we have available?
Oh, it's very, very effective if you presented early to the hospital for the treatment to be started for you. That is, if you go through whether a mastectomy was done or depending on the location of the cancer, if just a portion of the breast was taken away, and then you continue with chemotherapy, and also there is radiation therapy that can also be done for some of the patients. They undergo all that, they get better. Much.
You're always saying chemotherapy like?
Is a medicine that is given to the cancer patients, and depending on the particular type that you have, they give the chemo according to that. And the one is given through the veins. It's a liquid, like an infusion. I'm sure a lot of people know what an infusion is.
Yeah,
so
like
the medicine is put in it, and then a cannula is done for
IV.
You, and through the veins you receive the medicine. Maybe it depends on the number of cycles that you may be having. It can be 8, 6 and all that at different intervals, maybe at a 3 weeks interval. So every other 3 weeks you go for the chemo for some time, and then when you are done with your cycles, they will do other workups for you to check if everything is fine.
So it's when you start the treatment. Sometimes it looks as if the treatment makes you sicker temporarily than the disease. I mean, from what I've seen, and this is not like an informed medical opinion or anything, but depending on the stage at which you come,
yes.
I mean, just so that people are ready, you know, like that the fact that, like, I think chemo is, I've heard, is quite brutal.
I mean, yes, post-chemo, the drugs, they are very, I mean, strong ones, and sometimes they may make, they will let you feel very weak. Some of them cough, others feel, I mean, they can't really do much and all that. So, your doctor will talk to you about all these
things.
Yes.
So that's when
so
there's
you'll
the
be
hair
ready.
Loss,
yes,
and the
you
darkening,
can lose your hair,
all
your
of that.
Fingers, and all that. Tooth can be dark, and all that. But you'll be talked to before that. And usually, those who come to Kolebu, for instance, they see the clinical psychologist to take them through some sessions for them to psych their minds.
And then when it's all over and you're healed, I think. Last year, we had a lady who went through it, and she went through all of it, and she was healed, and she got herself back.
Yeah.
So the
I mean, I've seen a lot of survivors, and they're always happy. They get back to work and start doing everything normal. Yeah.
It's a tough journey to go through.
Very.
Right?
Yeah.
And how expensive
is it? And cost involving.
Yeah. How expensive is it?
Well, I can't give
the figures,
but of course you should have money for breast cancer treatment.
And if you don't, I mean,
well,
I'm sure
there
you
are some few
NGOs
in Ghana here that are helping and all that. So maybe if you're lucky and you find one like that,
then you can.
Yes.
So when people come to the hospital and they can't afford the treatment, what do? They just go. It's like they go home to die.
Not really. So usually we take all those histories from the patients, and then we try and get some of the cancer drugs that are not so expensive and can help them. Yeah, those ones are given to them.
I mean, I've heard so many times where doctors have like pitched in, you know, to buy drugs and stuff for.
Oh yeah, we always
patients.
Do that.
You do
from
it all
time
the time.
Because
it'll be difficult knowing that. You know,
yeah. You
know what can save this person's life, but
because
they can't.
The person doesn't have money, yeah. And some of them do have to sell their properties and all that, in order to afford the treatment.
The treatment.
Yes.
Wow, it's tough. Which is why early detection saves lives. So I hope that, you know, from tonight's show, you've at the very least taken away how to check. And when you do check, that you just go to your doctor, speak to your doctor, go to the hospital. And we've heard it over and over and over again how, if it's detected early, I think the treatment process is probably shorter because it hasn't spread and all of that. You just save yourself a lot. So don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. Or be anxious, be nervous, be afraid, but still just go to the hospital. I think that's what we're trying to say. Thank you so much, Doc, for joining us tonight.
Thank you, too. So I'll say that we should stop this stigma and be supportive. When your friend, your wife, your sister, or someone, you know, a church member has breast cancer, don't say that, oh, that's sickness. I won't talk to you again because you have breast cancer.
Yeah.
It's not contagious. And again, you can offer to give some help. Maybe go and help the person, do the laundry for the person, help with her kids and all that. We should be supportive and stop the stigma. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming. My name is Anima Do. Thank you to Anita, Mirabel, Oliver, and the rest of the team. So Breast Cancer Awareness Month continues here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll be running a lot of content across all of the programs. I'll be giving you more information for the places that you can go and get checked out as well. So, I mean, if you're not going to do it the rest of the year or next year, at least you just every October just decide that, you know, you just go with the flow and get checked. All right, then. Stay safe out there. Handing over to the news team for the 8 o'clock news. And also hoping to see you at the Trigmatic concert on Friday at Alliance Francaise. It starts at 7. So do join us. It'll be fun. I'll be there. Kofi Hayford will be there. A lot of us will be there. So join us. Let's support a brother and let's have some fun. All right, then. Stay safe.